Before getting into the lesson this morning, I want to share something with you. During this past week, the past 7 or 8 days, three things have happened relative to the support of the work of the church here that have impressed me a great deal. Last Sunday, sometime during the day, one of the young adults, I think perhaps a student, came to me and handed me a folded up check and said, "I failed to get my check in the contribution this morning. Would you see that it gets there?" Later in the week, one of our secretaries was by a business place and the person handed her a check and said, "Would you take this back and see that it gets in the contribution? We've been away from the services some and we need to get this in the contribution." And then it was either Thursday or Friday that an envelope came to the church office, addressed to the church, and when I opened it up, there was a check in it from one of our young men who was working in another state this summer as a youth minister. He sent a check to be put in the contribution here. Now, all three of those things, I think, emphasize to us that people are thinking about their giving and that they are interested in the local work. And I believe that it's attitudes like that that will help us to continue to grow and to do the work that we ought to do. Our contribution is above our budget for the year. We have some Sundays that are quite a bit above the budget and others that fall below. I get probably 75 to 100 bulletins each week from different states, and there are not many congregations that are meeting their budget. And I personally appreciate the ways so many of you, perhaps all of you, at least put time and thought to the process of giving. And as long as we continue to do that, there's no question what we'll be able to do here. And on behalf of the elders, I'd like to just thank all of you for the support that you give. It helps them in their leadership to make decisions, to do additional things with our youth, with our mission work, benevolent work, and other things. And we just appreciate it so much. I think most of us that are here this morning, perhaps all of us, even the little boys and girls, have had the experience of standing by a pond or a lake and throwing a rock out in it and watching what happens. The pebble hits the water and all of a sudden ripples begin to go out from where that pebble hit the water. Especially if it's a small lake or pond, you may stand there and watch until those ripples go all the way to the shore. I believe that the gaining of knowledge, the process of learning, is somewhat like that. And this morning, our lesson, if given a title, would be called Ripples of Knowledge. Ignorance is one of the greatest enemies of the work of the Lord. Ignorance is not a synonym to stupidity, but rather means a lack of knowledge. All of us are ignorant to some degree. We are ignorant about different things, maybe more so about some things than others. The Bible teaches us that the people of God perish because of lack of knowledge, Hosea 4, verse 6. That people who were ignorant of God's way were alienated from him and involved in many immoral activities, Ephesians 4, 18 and 19. A lack of knowledge many times can cause us many problems. I've had the experience, I think you probably have too, of having done something that maybe shouldn't have been done and then saying, "Well, you know, I did not realize, I did not understand, I did not know. If I had known, I would not have said that or I would not have done that." The lack of knowledge can certainly be a problem. On the other hand, the Bible emphasizes how important it is for us to grow in knowledge. Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. Abound in knowledge along with other things, we're told in Philippians 1, verse 9. The seven things that are to be added to faith that we sometimes call the Christian graces include the development of knowledge, 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 7. And in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, where he's talking about abounding in all these different things, knowledge is included. Do you sort of get the idea that we need to grow in knowledge? That's one of the reasons that we had Bible classes last hour, to help us to grow in knowledge. That's one of the reasons that we'll be having Vacation Bible School tonight, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday nights, to help us, adults and children, to grow in knowledge. Of course, we hope that we'll learn attitudes and develop in other ways, but we'll be talking about facts. We'll be talking about things that are taught in the Word of God, developing in knowledge. Think with me for just a few minutes about ripples of knowledge. And it being like throwing the pebble out into the lake and seeing it just ripple out and get bigger and bigger and bigger. The first ripple that is made, as far as knowledge is concerned, might be expressed in the fact that we learn about God by looking at His creation. Even if we had never seen a book like this, we just opened our eyes and looked around us, we would develop some knowledge. It would be limited. We would not have any details, and we might really not have the clear-cut answer, but we would at least learn something just by looking at God's creation. The psalmist stated in Psalms 19, verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." If you look up into the heavens at night, or you look around you on the earth during the daytime and the sun is shining, or even when there is a shower and you see all the beautiful plants, especially the roses that have been blooming at this time of the year, you see the animals that are there, and you watch how the animals act and react. You look at human beings, and you see the development of the human life, you would conclude conclusively that there is some power. Like the Indians, before they were taught the Bible, you might wonder who that power was and what it was, but in creation, you would see something that would begin to impress you, and you would begin to have some knowledge that there is more to it than accident. Romans 1, 19 and 20 states to us that even nature itself emphasizes to us something about God to the extent that we are without excuse, that we ought to realize that there is something about Him. I believe just the limited understanding that we would have of human nature, even if we did not have the Bible, would emphasize to us that there is some power beyond man. The development of the human life is just beyond explanation without there being some divine power. I have this morning in my hand something that's very amazing. I have the footprints of Kaylee Marie Hobbs when she was 4 days old. Kaylee Marie is the great-granddaughter of our brother and sister Kennedy. When she was born at Vanderbilt a few weeks ago, she weighed 1 pound and 3 ounces. She's making progress and gaining now. I think that her body is developing normally. But you think about the footprints that are put crossways on a little card that's about the size of a business card. And yet you look and you see the toes, you can tell the big toes, 1 pound and 3 ounces. If I didn't have God's Word, I think just to look at something like that and to realize the development of the human life would give me some knowledge, emphasize to me in some way that there is something greater than man. So that first ripple of knowledge that we develop comes just by viewing, just by looking out and seeing in our midst that there is a power. You might let the second ripple, as it spreads out a little bit from that stone, represent what is taught by others. You and I learn a great deal from other people. I would not have the time this morning to list and to tell you about the people who have been involved in teaching me about God's Word. I remember many years ago some of the things that especially my mother taught me. I remember the young woman who taught the little children's class with just the little card that we had at that time in the little building up in Middle Tennessee where we had no classrooms, just got in the back of the auditorium where all the classes were going on at the same time. Some of the things that I know about God's Word, I was taught by that young woman when I was just a tot. I could list to you teachers at Fried Hardeman, other places, others in the work of the church who have helped to teach me. I've learned a great deal from other people that has helped me to have some of the knowledge that I have today. And you could think of it in that same way. On Pentecost, Peter stood up and preached about Jesus Christ, the people were pricked in their hearts. They began to get a little knowledge, and they were affected in their attitudes because of that knowledge. He told them about Christ being crucified. They began to understand a little bit about it. In the 41st verse, it says, they gladly received his word. He was teaching, and they were bringing into their minds some knowledge about Christ and accepting that knowledge. They gladly received his word and were baptized. When Peter came to the household of Cornelius, as recorded in Acts 10, verse 33 says that Cornelius said to Peter, we're all here gathered before God to hear all things commanded thee of God. Now, a lot of events had led up to that time, but at this point, at least, Cornelius said to Peter, I know you've got something to teach us. Now teach us. Tell us what it is that we may learn. You see, that's the expanding of knowledge. That's another ripple that goes out from that center as we listen to other people teach us. Whether it's in a service like this, when God's word is being taught, whoever is speaking, or in one of our Bible classes, where God's word is being taught, other occasions, as you listen to someone else teach, that helps to promote and to expand the knowledge that you can have. I would suggest that you let the next ripple that goes out from this center represent seeing that knowledge applied in the lives of others. The teachers who have meant the most to me down through the years have been those who not only said, but who did. You could just see in their lives the actions that matched the words that came from their lips. And I believe when I sat in a class of a person like that, and I could see the morality and the honesty and the decency and the love for people and the reaching out to serve others as that person was teaching those principles, that I gained knowledge at a faster rate. And my amount of knowledge expanded and abounded more and more by seeing that kind of action and that kind of life on the part of the one who was the teacher. One of my favorite passages about Jesus is in the first two verses of the book of Acts. We think that Luke wrote Acts, and if he did, he was referring to the Gospel of Luke when he said here, the former treatise have I written unto thee, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. In fact, you've heard it said many times that you can't find anything, principle-wise at least, that Jesus taught but that he lived it in his life. He wanted us to look at his life as well as listen to his message. And he set the example before us. Those in the Old Testament, things written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patient and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Romans 15:4. Written as examples and in samples for us, that we might be admonished to do the will of God. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 6 and 11. We have all of those teachers who have taught in the past, and we see it in their lives. We see the examples. And those who have affected us even in our own lives and continue to affect us today. I'll guarantee you, if you took the student body at Freed Hardeman and had them to list their favorite teachers, that most of the time, those who are near the top of the list will be those who live it as well as teach it. You see it in their lives, and that just has its effect. And it helps our amount of knowledge to expand. But these ripples continue. You throw the stone in the water and it begins to make those ripples. They spread out. One is added to another. I suggest to you that the next ripple that perhaps needs to be considered is that of personal study. Personal study. Not only the study of God's word that we may be able to give an answer for the reason of the hope that is within us. 1 Peter 3:15. But a study of ourselves and our relationship to the Word of God, as indicated in 2 Timothy 2:15. Studying in a personal way. The Bible teaches us so much about the need to just take God's Word, and as Paul told Timothy, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Put some time in the Word of God. Oh, I am so thankful that I'm not totally dependent upon somebody else to teach me God's Word. That I have a copy of it right here that I can open up and I can read in here about how I'm to act as a citizen, how I'm to act as a father, as a husband, as a friend, as a Christian.
I can turn on the pages of this book and I can see what they did in New Testament worship and what God tells me He wants me to do and you to do when we come together to worship Him. Oh, it's wonderful to have a message like this which gives us God's Word and wraps it up in love to us, to tell us what He wants us to know and how He wants us to live and what He wants us to do, how He wants us to give of ourselves to Him and to others. You know, I find that if I can dig out something myself, especially if I have to put some effort to it, to go into the Bible and find out what God teaches on a subject, that I remember it, usually much longer than if you just tell me something. When I'm able to read God's message and think of it as a personal message to me, I think it's that expanding ripple of knowledge that is there. And that's why we continue to encourage personal study. Spending some time with the book. It may very well be that most of us are allowing the busy affairs of this life to take too many of our hours and minutes away from us to where we do not spend as much time with the book as we ought to. Where we know what's in here. And maybe even if we don't remember how to quote a passage, that we at least know how to turn and read that passage to teach ourselves and then to teach others. Personal study of God's Word is a way that we abound more and more in knowledge and grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But then I think there is an additional ripple. There is in the center, we might say, the creation, just looking at nature and obtaining some knowledge in that way. And then as we expand out the teaching of others and the example of others and the private study of our own, but I think perhaps the ultimate, or at least one of those ripples that gets out there pretty close to the shore, is when we apply that knowledge in our own lives. Jesus said, you're not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, as He answered the devil in the temptation in Luke 4, Matthew 4. Notice He used the word live. You're to live by the word of God. It's not just something to be stored up where you can feed it back, or you can quote so many scriptures. It's good to be able to quote God's Word. We need to learn more and more of it. But folks, if we could quote the entire Bible and still be less than what God wants us to be. It's when we take that Word and we put it into our own lives and we practice it day by day, somewhat like that statement that is included in most of the dismissal prayers. Father, help us to take what we have learned today and apply it in our everyday life. I've always wanted to stand at the door at the next service as people came in and say, how did you apply it? Perhaps you'd need to ask me that too. But the principle involved is a great principle. Take what we've learned and apply it. I think most of you have heard the story. It's been told by many of us. The story about the man in a foreign country who learned to quote the entire Sermon on the Mount. This particular man was not very well educated and was not thought to be highly intelligent. But he learned to quote the entire Sermon on the Mount, as you know, the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapters of Matthew. Somebody asked him how he learned that, and here was his answer. He said, I learned one verse, and I went out and lived it. And I came back, and I learned another verse, and I went out and lived it. I think he has something to say in what he's saying there. You know, we are creatures who learn things, and in many instances, those things we learn become second nature to us. If I get in my automobile without thinking, I'll wind up in my driveway or at the church building one, even though that wasn't where I had intended to go. Because I do things by second nature. I hope I don't drive all the time without thinking. But all of us have that experience. We do think, we don't even think about it. You know, as far as I can remember, I never entertained the thought yesterday, should I tell the truth? I never even thought about that. When I got up this morning, I never even thought about whether or not I should come to Bible study and worship. Those things are just second nature. They're a part of life. There are other things that we do that are like, this is the principle, you see. We learn something and we put it into our lives and it becomes a part of us. And And I think there's where knowledge really begins to fit into the pattern as it ought to and become that ripple that reaches out even to the shore. Is not Galatians 2:20 hinting at that when he says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live? Yet not I, but the life that I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. He also said in there, Christ liveth in me. What is it? It's learning Christ and putting him into our lives. It's learning what the Bible teaches and putting it into our lives and applying it day by day that helps us to have that kind of knowledge that will last, that knowledge that abounds more and more, and that knowledge in which we grow. So the next time you pick up a pebble and you throw it out in the water and it hits and it begins to make those ripples, I hope you'll be reminded of ripples of knowledge. How we start with God's creation in the center that says something about him, and then we listen to others and we watch others and we study ourselves and we put that into our own lives and we grow in knowledge along with other ways of growth in our relationship to God and our relationship to each other. And you see, as we begin to learn and listen to others, as those on Pentecost, the household of Cornelius, we learn what to do to be Christians. And then we apply that, and we obey, and we become children of God. And then we learn how to serve him, and how to worship, and how to live, how to treat others. And if we go astray, we learn what to do to come back and receive forgiveness of our sin, keep our lives right in the sight of God. It's a process of learning. It's a process of knowledge. Those ripples of knowledge that just grow and grow and grow. And I'm persuaded will continue to grow until they reach the shore. Or maybe better said, until we reach the shore. Because we'll never arrive at perfect knowledge. There's always something for us to learn. But that process is the process of Christianity that grows where we just grow little by little by little and put it into our lives and live it day by day. That's the kind of knowledge, that's the kind of lives that are needed in service to God. And that's why events like Vacation Bible School and Bible classes and special efforts for our young people and for others of us from time to time, the encouragement to study our Bibles regularly, that's why all of these things are involved. Help us to grow in those ripples of knowledge. And I believe if you will listen to what the Bible teaches you, that you will obtain the knowledge that's necessary to cause you to want to be a Christian and to live for Jesus Christ. And if you're not, come to him as together we stand and sing.